Hello, everybody. I've got my Nobius glasses on, my Nobius women glasses. I don't know if you can see that. But I was like, let me come on here like a Nobius woman, but I'll take them off now so you guys can see my face. So welcome to the book study call. Today we are discussing Atomic Habits. Let me go ahead and pull up my chat here. Go ahead and say hi in the comments, you guys. My favorite time of the month, we get to discuss the book that we've been reading. So, and you guys let me know if you can hear me all right. I'm going to go ahead and change my name. I'm not Corinne Crabtree. I am Coach Yesenia. I'll go ahead and... Okay. Hello, everybody. Yes. Okay. Awesome. You can hear me. Hello. Okay. And then if you expressed interest, if you are interested in coming up and discussing the book with us, I know there were a few of you interested in discussing the book and telling us what you got out of it. Go ahead and raise your hand. So Cameron says in the Q&A, I thought this was Camp Replay. This is not the Camp Replay. So this is the book study call. If you check the training calendar on the website, then actually you should have gotten an email since it's Camp Replay. I don't think it'll be on the training calendar on the website, but you should have an email about the Camp Replay schedules. Maybe they'll start next week. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they start this weekend. Okay. Okay, Beth. Yeah, it's not happening right now. Right now, this is the book study call. Okay. Atomic Habits is such a good book, right? Okay, so the way we're going to do this call, this one's a little bit different than our other calls. So it's not going to be just me talking about the book. I would love for a few of us to come up here and just talk about what we got out of the book. How has it already impacted your daily habits? Has it helped you get rid of any old habits that were not serving you? Has it helped you start a new habit? How has it helped you with your four basics? So that's really like what we're talking about today. And like I said, it's a discussion. So let's go ahead and get some volunteers. So and this is a great call to do this for because, like I said, it's not just you and me up here. There could be a handful of us up here. So it's a great call. Like if you've never been brought up onto a coaching call, it's a great one to do it for because you're not alone. It's just a casual discussion about the book and what you got out of it. So it's really like a great call. Like if you've been a little bit nervous before, this is a great one to be a little brave and raise your hand and just talk about the book. Don't feel like you have to have any notes ready or anything like that. Like I said, it's just casual. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Michelle on. And then we're going to need maybe at least one other person. So go ahead and raise your hand if you're interested in coming up. While I'm bringing her up, I also want to just, I know I mentioned my name at the beginning, but I'm Yesenia. I'm one of the Nobius coaches. I live in Georgia. I'm a single mom with two girls. And I have been a member for about 2.5 years now. And I've lost most of my weight working on losing the last few pounds. And I come on here once a month. I do the book club. I manage the book club. I manage the weekly newsletter, the new weekly newsletter that goes out every Sunday. And then I also coach private clients. So I work with several private clients who want that one-on-one interaction and support every week to help them reach their weight loss goals. And we also work on just life stuff, relationship stuff, all of that. So, all right. So let's go ahead and bring Michelle up. Okay, and then who else wants to come up here? Go ahead and raise your hand if you want to come up here. Once we get like one other person, I think we can start. So Come on, you guys. Okay. And then Michelle, I don't think we can see or hear you yet. I'm going to ask you to unmute, ask you to start your video. Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I figure if you all can come on sweaty, sometimes I can come on sweaty too. So.
Definitely. What kind of workout did you do today?
My office is doing a Nike Run Challenge via the app. And it's been a while since I ran. So I've been on the treadmill trying to do that and challenging but fun. So,
yeah. That's cool. I did a Peloton ride this morning and I did some Pilates. I've never done Pilates before, but it was kind of cool.
You know, I know we have a lot of Peloton users in our group. Mm-hmm. I've never tried one before, but we have a great following.
Yeah. Yeah. If anybody on here is on Peloton, drop your username in the chat. I've been enjoying it. So, all right. So I'm not seeing anybody else raising their hand just yet. Last call for anybody else who wants to come on here. I think we have a lot of shiny OBS women this morning. That's okay.
I bet they will after. I bet when they have something to say, they'll raise their hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get started. Go tell us a little bit about yourself, Michelle. Where are you from? What do you do? And how long have you been in OBS?
Michelle Williamson. I am in Dallas, Texas. This is my second book club. And if you guys were here last month, you know that I'm like a freak about book club. I love book club. Always wanted to be in one. So thank you all for having it. I'm finishing up my first 60 days next week. So I've followed Corinne for a while, but actually putting it into action just the last 60 days. So really evaluating, you know, my planner and all that stuff this weekend. I'm excited to see the progress. I am a mom of a 28-year-old son, and let's see if you can see her, my little four-legged baby down there, Ava. So my husband and I live in Dallas, and I work in data management. So I sit at a desk at home, really close to the kitchen. So all of this mind work is really helpful for what, you know, what I face on a daily basis.
Yeah. I'm super curious to hear, since you've been in here 60 days and all of a sudden, like, I know you said you've been following Corinne for a while, but now, like, taking that deeper dive now that you're in the membership and really getting to find out about thought work and the four basics and now, like, atomic habits. I'm very curious to get your thoughts on how you've been applying it and, you know, just what you're thinking about all of these new concepts.
Yeah. You know, I was in self-coaching scholars for almost 2 years. And one mm-hmm. of the things that they really focus on is restraint and focus. And it had changed my life in so many ways, but what at the core I needed to address was my eating and my mind work around that. And so I decided to really restrain into focusing exclusively on my body. And so Corinne is the best of the best, right? So I was like, I'm all in. So I don't know what it is about her work that other, you know, compared to others, but it just so resonates with me. And I've seen amazing progress over the last 60 days, not just in the scale, but in food choices and really working through the mind stuff about the choices, which to me, if I didn't lose a pound, I'm a healthier person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So interesting. What would you tell, what would you want to tell someone who's maybe been struggling a little bit or has been here a little longer or?
You know, I would say get out of your own way and my first 30 days, I just followed the basics, the four basics, and really focused in on listening to myself and getting away, you know, if you work in data, you know, or if you work at any desk job, you know, it's so easy to forget to take breaks, to take time, to listen to your body, to just shove something in your mouth. And, you know, scheduling 30 minutes to get away from the desk, things that you're taking care of yourself and making yourself a priority and being unapologetic of it, is really not something we're taught to do. And I'm pretty fierce about it now. So that was the first 30 days. And then the second 30 days has really been, and I think a lot of it has been, again, tied to this book, is using the habit tracker and celebrating and looking at the person. And Corinne talks about visualization, right? So talking about thinking about the person you want to be and building in, processes around being that person and really visualizing it. So one of the things, I think one of the questions is, what was one of the things that really surprised you about the book? What really surprised me so much was that there are so many elements of Atomic Habits in No BS.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing to me. I mean, and so, like, you know, just your habit tracker, right? Those small successes are what they say are like votes on becoming the person that you want to become. And so every time, I don't know if I can show my habit tracker, but one of the big things is talking about, you know, you're not looking to change all the things, just 1% changes, right? And so my first 30 days, I looked at all my habits and did my, and in my habits, girl, I was at 29%. 29% of doing the things, right? And for the next month, my goal was just to get to 30%. Mm-hmm. 1% change. And I've blown that out of the water. But, you know, I also went to camp. So I know I'm not looking for perfection. I'm looking for that 80-20 combo, right? Yeah. But 1% change is all. And all of, I just so look forward to checking those little boxes every day on the habit tracker. It's kind of crazy, but it's again building that identity of who you want to be.
Yeah.
And I'll stop there because I will just overflow with talking.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, like if you were at self-sabotage camp and then like also reading this book, I bet between both of the, you know, concepts that we've learned at both the book and the camp, it's like it helps you, I think, relieve so much pressure around having to be perfect.
Yes,
you can accomplish so much being so far from perfect. Like you don't need to be anywhere near perfect. I tell that to my private clients all the time. You can fail so many times and lose all of your weight. We're just failing our whole way there.
So. Well, and that's one of the things, you know, you talk about one couple of the things that resonated. And so for me, again, the votes, right? The habit tracker is a vote every time. And either you have an empty space for where you didn't do what where you're resonating to become, or you have a track because you have voted, you've taken an action. And it's those little checks. It's not one big check. It's all the little ones that get you there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I'm seeing Jen raise her hand. I'm going to go ahead and bring her up. Yay. Okay, Jen. There she is. Okay, let's see if we can get her to unmute and show her video. And then if you guys have any questions about the book or anything that you'd like us to discuss, the Q&A would be a great place for that. I'll keep an eye over there. We already have one question in there that we'll look at later. But hello, Jen. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Was it just you guys?
Yeah,
for a couple minutes.
Just talking.
Yeah. Oh, tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been an OBS woman.
Sure. So I am a Weight Watcher person, and I had formed a little text support with just a friend, Marilee and Heather. And Marilee told us about this great podcast called Losing 100 Pounds with Corinne. And you should try this this free challenge that she's doing that was at the end of March, just this last March that we had, 2020. And I was kind of like, yeah. And I signed up thinking it was going to be like a half-assed thing. And it was, I loved it. It was so great. I got totally into it. Deep dive diva. And then I waited to join though, because I felt mentally strong. And then after a couple of weeks, I was really missing all of the stuff. Cause again, I'm the deep dive diva. So I took the free course on top of, after going through all the podcasts and stuff, and it gave me a chance to join. And I was like, I'm in. So I've been all in ever since. And yeah. And also my friend Marilee, she joined too. So Heather's waiting until August to join, but yeah, so here I am.
Where are you from, Jen?
I'm from Camas, Washington. It's Southwest Washington, right by Portland, Oregon.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Well, we'll go ahead and jump in. How did you guys feel when you finished reading the book?
I felt like it really reinforced a lot of what Corinne and all of you guys teach about this. I really felt like, we learned the four basics, but and the building the habits and the daily track and everything. And it really reinforced that. And I was actually, it's so funny. I was just thinking this morning how brilliant it was that Corinne has the rule that you do not log onto Facebook until you fill out your daily tracker or your daily planner. And that's usually the first thing I do is like get my cup of coffee and then open up Facebook or Instagram. But it's ever since I started back in March, I haven't missed a single day because it's just automatic in your brain. Like, and that's kind of what James Clear is talking about is like associate. One of the tricks was associating the habit with something else. And now it's a habit brain for sure.
Yeah, definitely. What about you, Michelle?
One of the things that Corinne talks about is being the scientist, not the judge. And so this book to me had so much scientific backing to it. And one of the things that it talks about is scientifically 30 to 40% of your daily activity is habit-based. And so by creating those habits, you can create your identity. You actually can create who you become. And so that resonated with me so much, and it really has changed the way, you know, in your planner, it's, you know, my goal this week is to lose X, and the reason why this is important, like my statement, the weekly or the daily statement that I make about that, why that is important, has changed because of this book and Corinne. So it has resonated with me pretty significantly.
Yeah, that I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, we are supposed to be the scientists, and now we have like a lot of science to help back us up.
That's so.
Yeah. What was your biggest aha moment from the book? Like, you can pull like a favorite quote or a page number or anything like that.
You want to go first, dear?
There was like four things. I guess for me, the biggest aha that I like acted on and internalized was when he was talking about setting up your environment to make it really easy. Yeah. And we wrote down some of our stuff to make it really easy. So a couple of things that I acted on are super, this is super basic. I mean, it's what you do, but I hadn't done it yet. It was like putting up the sticky notes around my desk so that while I'm at work, I'm reading, like, we don't emotionally eat anymore. Like, you don't emotionally eat anymore. And then the absolute very biggest thing though I did was move my treadmill. Because COVID's opening up, we're able to go back to the gym, but I moved my treadmill into my bedroom because at the end of the night, I like to go into like my cozy bedroom and turn on the TV and watch some TV. And I thought, why couldn't I get some extra steps in, you know, and just walk for 20 minutes? I don't have to do a full on jog, but just a few extra steps that to help. So I put the treadmill in my room facing the TV because, you know, you want to make it easy. Like the habits should just come quick, easy. So I did some of that. And then another thing I did, which was super basic, but just cleaning out the fridge. So stuff looked easier to get to. And yeah, that stuff, that really, I think, was probably my biggest, there were so many, but that was probably my biggest aha. What about you, Michelle?
That was a good one for me too. I'll jump in really quick on this one. Like,
yeah,
like we talk a lot about like managing your mind and managing your thoughts and looking at your thinking and sitting with an urge, but there's so much that you can clean up in your environment to like, to eliminate a lot of that thought work and sitting with urges. Like, let me go ahead and make it easy for myself and set up my environment in a way to where maybe the things that cause urges are like out of sight, out of mind, or like you said, like, let me move my treadmill over here so that I see it and I don't even have to think about it. I just hop on there and get some bonus steps in and it feels really, really good. I love that. So much of it is just your environment. May as well set it up to like help you show up the way that you want. And you don't even have to think about it. It just goes like on autopilot.
My husband brought home these nuts, these pecans from Costco, and they have everything bagel seasoning on them. And they're on the counter and they just look so good. And I was like, no, those are going in the cupboard because they're not in my plan.
Get it, girl. That's how you do it. Yes. Yeah.
So that's
way to go.
You got to set it up, right?
Anybody else on the call, I'd love to see in the chat how you like did a little environment hack like that to make things easy for yourself. We could get some really good ideas about that. I always keep my planner like out right here on my desk. Like it's just always right here. And I feel like every morning I just automatically reach for it. Like I don't even, it's just right here. I don't have to dig it out of anywhere. I don't have to get up. It's just right here all the time. So
there was somebody who posted in the Facebook group about what they did to make their environment better. And yeah, it was so motivational. I screenshotted it. I can't, but she had some really good ideas. It's too bad she's not on the call because she had some good stuff about really lushing up the environment with candles and all kinds of stuff that she had ideas about.
I think my favorite passage was in chapter 13, and it talks about how a habit has to be established before it can be perfected. And I think, you know, it's standardize before you optimize. And so for me, how I've used that is, so, you know, drinking the 64 ounces was mentally, not really physically, but mentally a big challenge for me. And it's like one of the four basics, right? And so in my habit tracker, I marked it out and I put 50 ounces. Can I just do 50 ounces of water? And there was something about that mind switch that I got to 64 without any problem. I don't know what it was, but then taking, you know, like, I don't know if you guys can see this, but like this thing is 25 and I drink two of those before 6 p.m. And then I can just have, you know, I can sip on water for the rest of the evening. And it's, but setting myself up. And then again, on my habit tracker, just physically marking out the 64 and putting in 50. And then on my, everyday tracker, I have on the top of it, I don't know if you guys can see that, it says, 50 ounces of water. That way I just get out of my own way. And I put, to your point, Yasmin, I put my readers and my pen and my planner right in my bathroom every morning. So it's like, I go to the bathroom, I pick up my, you know, and I pick up my planner and I do the thing, right, before I do anything else. And then I don't know what it is about it, but do you guys find that if you don't do your 24-hour plan, like how things feel a little off? I don't know what that's about, but it's like, I feel like I know I've visualized, I know what I'm having for the day and, like I'm good. It's just, I don't, it's all those little brain hacks that have really made like this whole process a lot easier. It can actually be easy, which is crazy to me because
it's like, you've already made so many decisions about how you're going to think, feel, and do the rest of the day.
It's crazy.
Freeze up your brain.
Very good point.
Yeah. That's awesome. I like what, where was it? I just lost it. Oh, in the chat. Kelly said, my favorite quote, page 201 about making mistakes. Missing once is an accident. Missing twice is the start of a new habit. Mm-hmm. Like, that's also powerful.
Yeah, that was good too. Yeah. There was so much about focusing on the system that was so, I mean, that blew my mind for when I first started with Corinne, but this book really emphasized that too, that you really, it's really the daily, like Michelle saying, like the daily plan, and then just focusing in on that doable hunger method. And then there's, you know, towards the end of the book too, he talks about how sometimes when the habits start going, or when you know, the habits are ingrained, and then you have to refine them because there's the bell curve, like it gets a little bit worse before it gets better, and you have to protect because your brain is on autopilot. I noticed that with the stopping at enough, which was really good. The basics 2.0 was really good because you just kind of get on autopilot, like, okay, this was on my plan, this is what I do. And then I noticed that I had been stopping at that. But then between the basics 2.0 and then reading that in the book, I was like, oh, okay, so dinner, like with the scientists. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There was so much about that. I don't know why that was such a epiphany for me, but focusing on not the end goal, because that's always where I always have been before, is like, I'm going to be skinny in a white polka dot bikini, you know, 140 pounds. And yeah, but how about getting there? You know, yeah, you really do have to enjoy the process.
If you just focus on the goal, all you're thinking is that you haven't reached it yet. And it doesn't feel good to keep on thinking that. But if I had to like pick one thing that like I have to share with everybody, it would be like the focus on systems, like you said, Jen. Like, if you've just always got your system going, like, you're winning. Like, mm-hmm. that, and that feels good, knowing, like, I've got my system going. It doesn't even always have to be running perfectly, but if it's going, like, I'm winning, I'm on the right trajectory, you know? Talking about, like, if I had another day like today, and, like, I just multiplied it over for the rest of my life, like, where would I end up? Like, I'd end up right where I want to be. You know?
Yeah.
And even if you don't show up the way you want today, tomorrow's like another opportunity to get back on that trajectory that you want.
Which goes back to the book too. Never miss like 2 days in a row, you know, mm-hmm. you just pick up and keep going.
Yeah. So like how he was talking about, like, even if you get in a crappy workout, that's so much better than like just skipping it. Mm-hmm. So I've used that one a lot when I've not felt like getting my workout. I'm like, a crappy workout is better mm-hmm. than the workout, because then I'm still so like true. Got my system running. I tell my brain, like, this is something that we do. I'm like strengthening the habit versus like strengthening the habit of like, oh, I don't feel like it, so I'm not going to do it.
Well, to your point on that specifically, he says, you know, what is it? The 2 minute habit. Like, even if the 2 minutes mm-hmm. is you get your gym clothes on and you do one push up, then you've met, you know, you've done it 2 minutes worth. Mm-hmm. And it's better to keep that up than to feel that it's all or nothing, because if it's hard, our brains will go with nothing. Right. Mm-hmm. But if it's easy and you make it so easy that it's more difficult not to do it, then your brain will accept the new rewiring. And I thought that again, back to that science thing, I kind of geeked out on all the brain wiring stuff. But, you know, the thing that they talk about is you are going to do something. Like, if 30 to 40% of your day is habits, you're either doing a habit that's making you what you ideally want to be in your visualization, or you're allowing your circumstances to take over and you respond in a habit way there. Mm-hmm. And I just, that really resonated because, you know, with Corinne and the daily planner and then drinking your water during the calls, I mean, I'm building a very sound eating and hydration schedule, which is like, I never thought I would have that, you guys. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I threw on my workout clothes yesterday. I had to work all day, but I was thinking like, oh, I'd like to squeeze in something today at some point. And sure enough, I didn't get in a run like I wanted to, but that 2-minute habit, you know, I was just kind of having one of those days where it was like extra gravity day. Still got out there twice and got in those steps. Yeah, thanks.
That's why we call it the habit brain. Like sometimes it feels like it gets in our way and it gives us all that shitty thinking, but it's called the habit brain. That part of our brain loves to set up a good habit with like a good reward. So if it loves to do that, you may as well get good at like you said, establishing those habits that really help us show up the way we want, be who we want to be, and like use that habit brain for us. Like that's an incredible superpower that it has. So we might as well like use it for us and to help us meet our goals. It's so powerful. I think we underestimate it. All right. Has the book helped you guys like set up a new habit or eliminate an old habit?
I think my militance on the habit tracker is the biggest one. Mm-hmm. Just because I again, it's every little step and really focusing not, I mean, even though I visualize the number I'm aspiring to, you know, that's the, North Star or whatever that she talks about, you know, that's the direction I'm going, but how I'm getting there is the habit tracker. And, that's the big one. And then just, when I'm not feeling 100% into something, it's like using the Corinne model of, can I just whatever that little bit of 2 minutes is, it marries very well. And, to the point of, it wasn't yesterday, but the day before, I also put on, I didn't get to work out in the morning. So I went ahead and put on my clothes. And so mentally all day, I was like, we were talking, I was like looking for that place to move my body. And even if it was, I think I ended up just doing, you know, it, what I, in my shitty mind, I would have said, well, that's not really a workout, right? But for me, I moved my body and I sweated. Check, done. So it really has helped my mindset about how I'm going to get there. The processes don't have to be so rigid. They can be flexible enough to help me get to the success I'm looking for. It's not all or nothing. It can be a degree of success.
Yeah, one thing that wasn't really weight loss related, but a habit that I sort of picked up with this too was that whole 1% better every day. Corinne talks about it, but the book really, you know, dug deep into it. When I'm at work, sometimes, you know, when you're working from home and you know, COVID's getting lifted and it's kind of weird. Like, should I go back to the office or am I, you know, we're going to work from home. I like working from home, but it'd be kind of nice to see some humans have some interaction besides my kids and my husband. But that 1% thing really motivated me. So I have to do I have to come up with these 1-hour workshops for my job and I have to do like 2 or 3 a month and just for all the staff to get them trained and kind of a deep dive onto policy. And they're really tedious and they take a long time and a lot of critical thinking in your brain gets tired. But I was like, you know what? 1% every day. So I started one and every day I'm like, and the 2-minute thing, Michelle, you reminded me of that. And I'm like, just 1% every day. And by God, by the end of the week, I had one of my workshops already done and it didn't even hurt because it was like just a little bit every day. Yeah. And then the other thing I noticed is that he talks about tidying up your house. Like you just do a little bit every day. And then, and he used the example of his friend who said he was really lazy, but his house was really clean. And he's like, cause I don't like to clean it. So we just do a little bit every day. And I thought, God, yes, that is great. So I noticed myself picking up.
Yes. They call it the room reset. Yeah. Stuck too. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. And I did notice, I was like, God, yeah, I really don't have to do as much on the weekends. Cause I'm kind of doing it. And I even thought, well, this will help the pathways in my brain become a habit. And yeah, actually, as I'm looking around, I'm like, oh, it is pretty tidy. So those are a couple of good habits that came out of this. Oh, hi, puppy.
Ava was, she was wanting me to move, so I decided to pick her up instead. She likes book club too.
Yes, so she does. What a cute face.
Lori was saying in the Q&A that she likes what you said, Michelle, about restraint and focus, because she's also in self-coaching scholars, and it's a good reminder. She said, I still would like you guys to speak to the book recommendations about starting small, because there are so many things I want to tackle. So let's, what do you guys think are some good ideas for starting small, especially like around weight loss or the four habits or anything like that? How can we start small based on like how James Clear recommends it?
Well, so for me, again,
so many. Go ahead, dear. Yeah,
you no, first. There's no, you go ahead. I was like, oh man, there's so many. I have to think of one. So you go while I think of one that would be good.
Two that have really helped me. Again, I'm going back to the water, because the four basics, right? Hydration is one of the four basics. And so for me, what can I, you know, what can I do at this moment? Right. So I can do 50 ounces. Well, if I don't get in my way, I tend to do more than 50 ounces, but it was a lot more than I did, you guys. I'm not a water drinker. So that was one thing that got me motivated to go in the right direction, and seeing the success on the habit tracker by selecting it. Then the second one, which was starting really small, but was so helpful for me when I was first starting to create, when I was writing, you know, the 24-hour plan, there would be days that I would feel so mentally resistant, and the pressure would be overwhelming on what am I going to have for lunch and what am I going to have for dinner? Like, I have breakfast on the lockdown, but lunch and dinner was feeling really, I was like, my thoughts around it was causing a lot of anxiety. So what I did for lunch is I would write protein and vegetable. And then dinner, I would write protein, vegetable, and carb. And as long as, you know, through this process, what that has done for me is it has relieved the anxiety around where I'm going to eat, because I can eat anywhere as long as I have a protein and a vegetable. And then in addition to that, by building in the habit of like, I'm not a big vegetable person at all, but I have committed through this process this month. You know, we talk about the weekly of what are you going to add or subtract. So this month I have added vegetables at lunch. I will have a vegetable at lunch and dinner. And I know I'm a grown ass woman, but I don't like eating vegetables. So that's been my commitment. And it has worked so well. It's just made the brain, it just relieves so much. Like, where are we going to eat? What are we going to eat? Da, 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 da. No, it's done. Anywhere, vegetable and a protein, and I'm successful. And I have taken out so much crap out of my diet by just doing that. And there are actually vegetables I like, which is amazing. And finding different ways to cook them, I'm like, what? And it has helped. It has helped so much. So those are the ones I'd say have been super helpful on weight loss.
Mine, for shoring up those four basics are, again, I'm hashtag basic bitch for sure. But it's like for sleep, for leveling up on that, I've been changing my sheets. I always change my sheets. It's like every Sunday I change sheets, but I've been looking at new sheets, and I did buy a new set of sheets, because, you know, I can sleep any, like, between work and kids and everything, I can fall asleep anywhere, anytime. But that was a way for me to level up with sleep. And then and just going to bed just a tiny bit earlier. Those are a couple 1%. Yeah. The water, I have I like ice cold water, and I like a straw. So I always have, like, I fill it up in the mornings and just keep it at my desk to try to keep getting it in all day. And then for finishing the basics 2.0, I know there's one left for setting goals to work on, but I was like, oh, I, you know, basically did it. So I posted this in the group somewhere, but I bought myself a big giant water bottle with a handle. It's kind of old lady-ish, but by God, I love a good handle and a straw. And so nice. I bought one of those. Yeah. So I bought that for rewards. So that was a way to level up on the water. The steps, I do a challenge on Fitbit. So I know that that's every day I try to get 12,000 steps, which I know is kind of a lot and I don't always make it, but it's, I aim for that. And then, and the level up, that really helped too with Corinne saying, like, before it was always like with the Weight Watchers mentality, it was like, work out more so you can eat more, you know, earn more points. And God, sometimes you'd be so tired. And I even hate to admit it's embarrassing, but sometimes I would do like 2 hours a day and it was just too much. But with Corinne, she's like, move for what feels good. And I've gotten in more yoga and I don't feel the need to go run 10 miles a day. You know, it's like, I mean, and I'm being sarcastic. That's not normal, but but though
I'm impressed as hell if you could.
Yeah, no.
I cannot.
Those were my little level ups to make things easier for myself. And then always, just like Corinne said in the basics, eating to enough is always a challenge for me. So I have to sometimes just set my timer and be like, okay, you're going to pause 30 seconds, you know, at the middle of the meal and check in. Like I will literally have to stop myself. And that's something I'm constantly working on. But another level up is, which I know a lot of people do, but I have these, of course I'm a kitty person. So I have these kitties, but I have these note cards and sometimes I'll just pull these out. I have a lot of like aha moments that I've even gotten some out of the book. I just put them on these note cards and I'll read them to myself. Like, okay, reinforcing thoughts to give myself instead of the old shitty thoughts.
Yeah. I think once you start to see the 1% level ups, you're going to start to see them everywhere. And just, if you're starting out, just use James Clear's rule about like 2 minutes or less. It should feel ridiculously easy, but that's how you get those dopamine hits. You build those small wins. It feels good. So you keep doing it and then you just aim to do a little bit more because now it's bonus, right? Versus when you're aiming for like, oh, I should like get in a 45 minute ride or whatever. Like that feels hard. And then if you don't meet it, it doesn't feel good. So,
and those rewards at the end too. Putting those stickers on that habit tracker for that hit of dopamine. Somebody posted like, make it ridiculously easy and reward yourself. But yeah, those stickers make a difference.
Yeah. Like if you're working on water, like I think a lot of us like sip on your water, just start like chugging it a little bit instead of like sipping something easy like that. Like you'd be surprised how much more water you get. Like I know for sip. If I'm going to have water, I'm like pouring some down into my mouth. And then just if you want to read more, like one page. A lot of people in the comments are talking about like, oh, your budget and watching your spending and stuff. I like how he talks in the book about how you can take some one-time actions that'll like, you know, like have a forever kind of result. Like if you're looking at your spending, you can cut some subscriptions or expenses and you get that dopamine hit of like, I did it one time. And I've reduced that expense forever. Like I would, if you're looking at your budget, that's a really good one to just go through one time and see what you can cut out one time for good. That feels
that just reminds, I did that too. I actually just upped my, I added an extra $25. There's some kind of extra thing on top of your retirement that you save. And I added an extra $25 a month to that savings because of this book and reading that. I was like, oh yeah, that's true. One time there's an extra 25, that'll add up, you know, by the time I retire. So yeah, that was one I did too. Speaking of budgeting.
And
love it.
And if you're still wanting to work on your spending, like people were talking in the comments about Starbucks, like pick one spending habit that you could work on and just reduce it a little bit. If you've been going to Starbucks like 5 times a week, maybe now it's 4, you know, I think it feels small, but it makes a difference and it feels good. Anytime I work with a private client and they're wanting to improve their habits, even like around the 4 basics or their nighttime eats, like, all right, if it's happening 3 times, let's work on making it 2. If you're making a plan 4 times a week, let's work on making it 5. And it feels so good. mm-hmm. versus like, oh, I'm only planning half the time. And now I'm like, I have to plan every single day. And then if you only got in 6 days only, it doesn't feel mm-hmm. good, right? So yeah, just increase things by a little bit or decrease things by a little bit. Just like
that what was
with your water.
That was what was so good about this book, is it really put that into perspective that if you can reduce it, you know, from to 6 times a week versus 7, it's still a 1%, you know, that adds up over time. That's still 4 times a month, you know, four times 12. Like it really, I mean, I just always have been such the goal that and this book really puts it into perspective how much that those little things really do count.
Yeah.
And that marries really well to what Corinne talks about in, you know, starting out 20, 80, and then going 40, 60. And then at that point, once you're able to do 60, 40, and then living very well at 80, 20. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we tend to get in this all or nothing mindset. And that mm-hmm. is so self-defeating that it, I'm happy that I keep doing it every day. I just, you know, just doing something every day is mm-hmm. I'm doing something for myself. And even if I only turn out that my habit tracker only goes up by 1%, it's more than I had last month, right? And mm-hmm. so just that ongoing, that's what keeps you in the game instead of that mindset of, well, I can't be perfect. Well, there is no such thing. And so I can do 1% better than the month before.
Yeah.
Four phases of change, man. Like that, there's a lot in OBS that I love, but that, oh, I love four phases of change. It releases so much pressure from having people. Like, yeah, you're supposed to fail in the beginning. You're supposed to not get it right 80% of the time. You are right on track. You know, it's just waking up your brain in the beginning. That's exactly where you're supposed to be. You're not supposed to be like, oh, like now I'm sitting with urges 80%. No, you're only supposed to sit with them 20%. And you're just waking up your brain to things. So I love it. That is so powerful, I think. And it, like you said, it goes perfectly with his 1% level ups, just little wins here and there.
Well, yeah. And, you know, James talks about the process of behavior change always starts with the awareness. Mm-hmm. You need to be aware of your habits before you can change them. Mm-hmm. And so it's not going from just, this is where I need to be. It's acknowledging to your point is waking your brain up that you have options.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make what is the best next decision. It's mm-hmm. it's amazing to just think about how easy it can be.
Yeah, that's awesome. Did anything surprise you guys about the book, or do you guys still have any like remaining questions about the book?
I know there was a lot in there. I posted this, but I was like, why did he name it Atomic Habits? Because like I said, atomic makes me think of a bomb. And I was like, the whole point of his book is not like to have this big, I mean, eventually you do get to that big, like the example of giving a man a coin, like, okay, here's a coin. And eventually one coin is going to make him rich. But I was kind of like, because the whole point of it is small habits, but I don't think if you named the book like Small Habits to Success, it probably wouldn't sell. You probably needed to make it like atomic, like a bomb. Oh, Adam. I see. Adam. I see. And
if you look at the cover, you see that there are these little dots and mm-hmm. all the little dots actually make the word atomic, but those little dots are also, there's white dots in the word too. So it's not solid.
Oh, right? That's so interesting. I just noticed that.
And parts that are within the word and outside of the word. And so that's just a further demonstration that it's not cut and dry. There are mm-hmm. points and pieces, but by those little, pigments together, right? It creates the word. And that's what I thought, to me, kind of goes back to that 80-20. I mean, I think that they use a little bit more than 80%, maybe 90% to write out the word atomic, but there were still missing pigments in places to show that it doesn't have to be 100% for us to understand what it was, and that those little pieces make the impact.
Yeah.
I love that you guys are explaining that, and the chat is blowing up with it. Thank you guys.
It's kind of like before the book starts, so it's easy to miss it, but he kind of explains atomic and habit and how like atomic means this extremely small amount of a thing, but it's also a source of immense energy or power, which is where the atomic bomb comes from. You know, it's using that power of an atom to create a bomb. So
That's like all of us no BS women with small habits, and we're gonna blow up to be bombshells.
Yeah, bombshells. Yeah, I like it. And somebody said in the comments, he has a really great newsletter. I subscribe to it. He sends it out like every week, and he has it's good. It has like quotes and just little things, and it's like kind of like skimmable, and it just has some like good things in there. Sometimes I share it on my Instagram.
I took his personality test in the book. He talked about fitting your personality to the habits, and kind of like if you want to be good at something like Michael Phelps versus the long distance runner, and how Michael Phelps had the body to be, but the long distance runner, you know, wouldn't have the body to be a runner, and Michael probably wouldn't be that good at running, and vice versa. And so I took those personality tests, and I went down a rabbit hole on those. I was taking those for like, I don't know, like an hour and a half, just taking all the different tests, and it was really interesting. It was really nice. They were free too. And those tests are really in depth and research based. And I mean, people pay money for psychological evaluations, and really interesting.
Ooh, thanks for the reminder on that.
Those were good. Like with the biking team and like all the little 1% level ups, and all of a sudden they were like winning the championship and everything, and it's incredible. And I like the example that he gave with the ice cube and how you think nothing is happening and then all of a sudden it melts.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, that helps me so much, because sometimes you have like a week or two with your weight loss where the scale isn't moving and you feel like you're like, but I've been leaving food behind. But it's like sometimes your body, it just takes a minute to release the weight. That's all that's happening, right?
Yeah.
Like there's stuff going on, we're just not seeing it, and it's just taking a little while for the result to actually, you know, happen on the scale.
Yeah.
Said, where do you find the tests?
So it's just Atomic Habits. It's really easy. It's just atomichabits.com/personality. That's it. And then it takes you to his site, and you don't have to go through anything. I did it on my phone even. It's just atomichabits.com/personality. And then all the tests are right there, and you just click on the one you want. And I ended up taking all four of them.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I think I missed.
Thank you for that reminder.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I was just flipping through here and I saw where he writes, we can only be rational and logical after we have been emotional. And I think that says the primary mode of the brain is to feel, the secondary mode is to think. Isn't that fascinating? I'm like, that goes back to like feeling our feelings, allowing an emotion, allowing it to process through, just feeling it versus trying to suppress it. And then we can decide how we really want to think about something.
Yeah, that's been a huge one for me.
Yeah.
And there's so often you want to just avoid those feelings, but like sitting with it has been so healthy for me. And then changing the way you want to think, that's been so great.
Yeah. I love that we did, like you guys said, like you love that we did Basics 2.0 with Atomic Habits, like they pair so well together. And then next month we're doing Thoughts 2.0, like we're focusing more like on module two and like the thinking and stuff. So I'm like, this has been like the perfect kind of setup for that. Now that we've like worked on our habits and our basics, and now we're diving into the thinking.
And our book for next month too seems like it's a lot of thought work. I haven't started reading it, but I have it sitting right here. But Words to Eat By seems like there'll be some thought work that'll go perfect with the next thing too.
It's so good. You guys are really going to like it, because I know a lot of times we know that we need to work on our thinking, but it feels like you don't know how to do it or what could I think instead. And she gives so many good examples of
how else more, you can think. More for my note cards.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys are going to like that one. And we're gonna have her on for a Q&A. So you guys are gonna have to. It's gonna be, because you know how we usually have these calls at the end of the month. That one is happening on June 21st. So it's a little bit earlier than when we usually have our call.
That's so exciting to actually have the author come. Yeah. That's really exciting.
Yeah. So you guys be thinking, like, as you're reading the book, you know, jot down some notes or questions that you have for Karen Kinnig, because we're going to be able to ask her directly. So I think that's going to be
so exciting. Cool. Yeah. So cool. Yeah. So exciting.
Yeah. So you guys let me know as we get started on that book in June, if you want to post in the group or we can start a thread or something, let me know what you'd love to ask her. And we may even kind of do it like this with her. If you want to be, wants to come on and ask her yourself, your question, like, I think that would be so cool.
Yay.
Yeah. Any last thoughts on Atomic Habits? Anything that we haven't shared yet that was like just a big aha moment for you?
I will say that at the very end, another aha, because as we're having this conversation, I realize how much I've used from this book. But when he talks about the basketball team, the dream team, and how everybody was like, these guys have so much potential, and then they were kind of losing. And he did these charts, and he broke out how many times they missed the shot, hit the shot, did all these basketball terms that I'm not great with. More of a football girl myself, but I was thinking, God, you could apply that even to your job. You know, how many times did we, you know, staff this case? What decision did we make on it? And you know, look at it a year later, and where did it end up? And that was kind of an aha. And because I also was looking at the Corinne's last basics 2.0 was not focusing on the scale, but adding up, you know, out of 21 meals last week, how many did you follow on your plan? And I felt like I had had a rough week, but then when I looked back and did the data, it was 20 out of 21 were on plan, you know? And I thought, oh, okay. So it's just like putting it into pieces and putting it in a chart so that you can see the changes like they did for the basketball team. And we're kind of doing that with No BS and the Habit Tracker. And I know I was thinking of ways to use it, like could use it at work. I mean, you could use it at home. How many times am I making the bed in the morning? Those kind of things.
Data is so powerful. I say that a lot, like data over drama, because like something happens and you just want to go immediately to like, I'm a failure, I can't do this, I knew it was impossible. But like, just look at your data. Your data can tell you so many things versus like the conclusions that your brain wants to jump to sometimes. Mm-hmm. So
the one that I'd like to end with is one of the comments that I think it just marries up to No BS. It says, it's friendship and community that embeds a new identity and helps behaviors last over the long run.
Mm-hmm.
So our community, our friendships was, for me, just being a part of all the Facebook groups and contributing and, you know, it has made a huge difference in my mindset about my health. And I love that. So thank you guys.
Yeah, when you know you're in it with somebody else, I mean, that makes such a big impact, you know, getting to talk to other people and see what they're going through and get answers to your questions and form accountability groups. I mean, it's just huge. That's so, such a big part of like creating that lasting, like lifelong change for sure.
Yes.
So I love that. Like we have this membership to do that. It's awesome. And then we'll just leave off on this question. So Janice said, how much has this book helped you in your coaching practice? So for me as a coach, like I really like this book because it's so practical. So we do work on thought work, right? But then this book gives you lots of practical things to give to clients or work on yourself. So that's what I like about it. Like, you know, you get to talk with someone about, all right, what's your environment like? How can we set that up? What are your 1% level ups? You know, how are you starting your day or ending your day? And so I'll just say, like, this is such a good book to revisit, like, once a year. Because I think you get something new out of it. Like, I had already read this book and I liked it. And then I reread it for book club. And I'm like, I feel like I didn't even read it before. Like, I'm just getting so much more out of it again. So I think there's a good reason this book has been like a no BS favorites, because like you get something out of it every time. And it's so practical. It ties so well with what we teach in no BS. It's a classic. It's like a really, really good one to reread every so often or listen to every so often. So yeah, that's it for this month's book club call. Thank you guys so much for coming on here, Jen and Michelle. It was so lovely to have you, and everybody saying in the chat, like, it was a great discussion and they are loving this new format and how we get to just hear from different people and all of that. So thank you guys so much for raising your hand and coming up.
And thanks for hosting.
Yes. Yeah. Of course. And thank you. Yeah. Thank you everybody for coming on and joining us in the chat as well. And I'll see you guys next month for Words to Eat by Karen Koenig. So we'll get to talk to her. All right, guys. Bye. Have a good rest of your day.
Bye.